We read just one verse from John chapter 14 a minute ago. Let me just put it in context for you. Paul and Barnabas had gone on their missionary journey. It was Paul's first that he took with Barnabas. They had visited many cities. They had established several churches. They'd seen God just work in mighty ways. He did things that had never been done before. And over again, they got to see God's work. And now they were back home in Antioch. And what they did when they got back home is they gathered the church together. And the Bible says they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith. And I believe that's one of the things that we ought to do this time of year. I believe at Thanksgiving time, we ought to rehearse or remember what God has done for us. It's kind of hard to be thankful for things that you don't remember. It's hard to be thankful for things that you don't think about. And so at this time of year, we ought to make it a prayer. We sang songs about it, Count Your Many Blessings. At this time of year, we ought to stop and we ought to think about all the things that God has done for us. You see, this practice of getting people together and rehearsing or remembering what God had done occurs over and over in the life of the children of God. And I just picked out three times this morning that I want to mention to you, and I'm going to talk about them real quickly, and I'm going to use them for the basis of my message this morning. The first one that I would point out to you takes place in Deuteronomy chapter 29, where Moses is about to die. God had told him he couldn't go into the promised land because his sin of striking the rock instead of speaking to it like God told him. He's about to die, and leadership reins are about to be passed over to Joshua. And so he gathers the people together to rehearse what God has done. So let me just read a few of those verses from Deuteronomy chapter 29. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. The great temptations with which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. And I've led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drunk wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God. And so again, Moses was about to pass over the scene. He was about to pass leadership to Joshua. He called all the people together and he said, hey, you remember everything God did for us in Egypt? You remember all the miracles that he did to get out of Egypt? He said, you don't remember those things. You don't have eyes to see and ears, a heart to perceive. You've forgotten them. You've forgotten what God has done. I want to remind you what God has done so that you can know that he is the Lord your God. Now, the second one I would point out to you is when Joshua was about to pass off the scene. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 1, the Bible says, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua did the same thing. He reminded the people not only about getting out of Egypt, but he reminded how God had brought them through the wilderness and how God had provided them for them in the wilderness, how God had led them through the wilderness and how God had helped them begin to take the promised land that he had promised, or the land that he had promised to them. Now let me read just a couple verses from Joshua chapter 24. Where Joshua again is talking to the people on behalf of God and says, and I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwelt in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not do ye eat. Now there fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord.
So Moses said, hey, look at, remember everything God's done. I want you to remember that so you know that God is God. And Joshua gathers all the people together, rehearses everything that God has done, because he says, I want you to serve him. And then one more I'll mention to you. I won't read any, I'll just read one part of a verse. But in Acts chapter 7, Stephen did not call people together. They gathered around him because he was put on trial. He was one of the original deacons, and he was serving God and causing a stir so much that he was arrested and brought before the court, and there was a large crowd of people around him, and Stephen used that opportunity to do the same thing that Moses did, to do the same thing that Joshua did. He rehearsed everything that God had done for his people. I mean, he started way back with Abraham and went right up through the current time. And then he says in verse 51 of Acts chapter 7, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and years, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers do, so do ye. Now, I pointed those three things out again, those three instances out as the basis for my message. I want to give you three reasons this morning why we should do the same thing that Moses did, the same thing that Joshua did, the same thing that Stephen did in front of those people. Why we ought to remember, and again, we ought to remember it for ourselves, but we ought to remember it for our families as well when we get together at Thanksgiving time. It ought to be one of the things that we include in our Thanksgiving feast, maybe gathered around the table or gathered in the living room, wherever you gather, to, as a family, remember what God has done for you. Remember the things that God has worked in your life. Remember the times that God has been God in your life. And there's three reasons I think we should do that. Number one, we need to do it to know that God is God. Amen. We ought to rehearse what he's done. We ought to recall what he's done. We ought to bring back to our memory and to the memory of others that are around us to know that God is God, just like he said through Moses to the people as Moses gathered them together, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God. Amen. Sometimes we forget that God is God. Sometimes we forget the kind of God that we have. I want to remind you this morning, we have a wonder-working God, as the psalmist tells us. I want to remind you this morning, we have a God that can work miracles. I want to remind you this morning, we have a God that can do the impossible. Many, many times in the Bible, God reminds us of the kind of God he is. He says, is my arm shortened? Is there anything impossible for me to do? And of course, rhetorical questions and the answer to both of those and others that are asked in that same vein is no. God's arm is not shortened. He is not limited in what he can do. The only time he's limited in what he can do as God is when his people don't put their faith in him. He told the children of Israel, he says, you've limited me. He said, 10 times, you've limited me. 10 times. I wanted to do something greater for you, but you didn't believe that I could. And so I want to remind you this morning and encourage you to remember what God has done for you so that you will know that God is God. We need to look back. We need to look. And I know some of you are getting close to the age of Brother Clyde. I know some of you just can't remember as well as, but I'm just teasing you, Brother Clyde. You're the one that didn't forget this week. And I won't go into detail, but never mind. Inside joke. We all need to remember what God's done for us. We all need to remember what God has done for our family. We all need to remember what God has done for our church. We all need to remember what God has done for our country. And God has worked on our behalf over and over and over. He has done things in our individual lives and in the lives of our family that when we went into a certain situation, when we went into a time of trial or testing, there was no way at the beginning of that time of testing that we can imagine what God was going to do. But we came out on the other side, and we saw what God has had done. And at the end of that trial, at the end of that time of testing, we bowed to our knees, and we said, only God could do this. Only God could do this. I mean, I could go up and down the aisles, and I could stop at just about every aisle based on things that you have told me this past year or over the years, and I could help you recall the times in your life as an individual, your life as a family, that God showed forth his power in such a mighty way that the only thing that we could do as we observed it, the only thing we could do as we saw it, is step back and say, God is God. There's no other way that those things could have happened. There's no other way that those things could have been accomplished if it wasn't for an omnipotent, all-powerful God that worked on the behalf of his people. Amen. And every single person here, if you thought about it, if you remembered, you could mention something from your life or the life of your family or the life of your church where God has been God and done something that only he could do. There is nothing impossible for our God. We sang that song this morning, Count Your Blessings. The fourth verse says, so amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give you till your journey's end. We need to rehearse what God, all that God hath done, so that we will know that he is God. Number two, we need to rehearse all that he has done so that we'll be reminded to serve him. That's what Joshua said. We read from Joshua chapter 24. He rehearsed all that God had done for his people. And then he said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him. Do you know that God has a purpose for your life as an individual? God has a purpose for your life. There's nobody in this room this morning, here, up there, nobody in this room this morning that you're just here without God having a purpose for your life. And by the way, he didn't come up with that purpose after you were born. He had that purpose in mind and had you be born. He put you into the home that he wanted you in. He put you into the family that he wanted you in. God has directed your life because he had a purpose that he wanted you to accomplish. He has a job that he wants each of us to do. Now, he tells us in this book that we ought to serve him. And Joshua reminded the people, look at everything God has done. Look at what God has done on our behalf. Let's serve him. That's what he was telling God's people. Again, he was about to leave. He was about to pass off the scene. There was a series of judges that were going to begin to rule after Joshua left. And he wanted the people to remember what God had done so that they would serve him. We ought to serve God. We ought to serve God. We ought to serve God because he says we ought to do it. I mean, over and over in the book, he says, we ought to serve him. And it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do to serve God. But if you can't do it because he commands it, if you can't do it because it's the right thing to do, then do it out of gratitude. Amen. Serve God out of gratitude. Just think about all the things that he has done for you and say, hey, I'm going to serve him. Let me just remind you for a few minutes of some of the things that he's done for you. First of all, if you're a Christian here this morning, he saved you. Amen. You were a sinner. Say, preacher, you're calling me a sinner? Yeah, just like I'm calling myself a sinner. We're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were all sinners, and our sin separated us from God. Our sin put us under the condemnation of God. Our sin had us on a road to eternal damnation in that place called hell. I mean, that was true of every single person. Our goodness does not make us right with God. The fact that we come to church doesn't make us right with God. The fact that you may have been baptized or take communion does not make you right with God. All of our righteousnesses, all the good things that we do in life, in God's sight, Bible says, are as filthy rags. So we were sinners on our way to hell, nothing we could do to change that, but God stepped into the picture. And by the way, he didn't wait till we were in trouble to come on the scene. He had it all planned before he created the heavens and the earth. God came on the scene, and what mankind, what you and I couldn't do for ourselves, he did for us. He sent his son into the world, lived a sinless life, and then let mankind take him, nail him to a cross, and as he hung on that cross, God laid on him, listen to this, God laid on him every one of my sins, every one of your sins, every sin of every sinner that's ever walked the face of this earth or will ever walk the face of this earth. God laid their sins on his son, and Jesus paid for them on Calvary. That's what God did for you. That's what God did for me. I mean, I have some other things on my list, but I could stop right there, and that would be enough of a reason for you and I to serve God. He rescued us from hell. He took the guilt of our sin all away. He dressed us in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I stand before God this morning. I stand before God just as if I'd never sinned. If you're a Christian, you stand before God just as if you've never sinned. Not because you've never sinned, but because you're dressed in the righteousness of his blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved us. He given us the Holy Spirit. There's part of God that lives in me. We talked about it in Sunday school. The Holy Spirit wasn't around much in the Old Testament. He was sent to certain people for certain tasks. He embodied them while they did those tasks. When those tasks were done, he left. Not true of people that live in New Testament times. Not true of people with us. When we got saved, our salvation was sealed with the Spirit of God that came to dwell in each one of us. I have God living in me. I have God residing in me. I have God that's present with me every moment of every day. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I think about that, when I think about the God who spoke this world into existence, the God that created everything, I can look about and I can see the wonder of creation, and I think about that's the God that spoke all of this into existence, the God that made everything I see is the God that lives in me, Amen. Will never leave me nor forsake me. I am never alone. I don't have to face the trials of this world alone. I don't have to face the situations of this world alone, because I have a God who resides in my being that will never leave me or forsake me. Amen. I have a God that's preparing a place for my eternity. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." That's what he's doing today. For every Christian, every Christian, this carpenter from Nazareth is now leading the biggest project the universe has ever known. He's building places for us in heaven. Amen. And one of these days, as Brother Clyde and family saying about a moment ago, one of these days, that trumpet's going to blow. That loud voice is going to say, "Come up hither." Dead are going to rise first. They have 6 feet further to go than we do. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hey, once I get to heaven, I ain't leaving. Once I get to heaven, I'm going to be there forever. And so are you. Amen. Hey, you're not getting along with another Christian? You better start getting along with them. God's got enough sense of humor that you're going to live right next door to him for all eternity. because there ain't no evictions. Not good English, Brother Clyde, but it's good preaching. There ain't no evictions. There ain't no foreclosures. There's no mortgages that'll go unpaid. No back taxes. Once you get your mansion in heaven, it's going to be yours forever. Now, I could go on, but I'm out of time. Why wouldn't we serve the Lord? Why would I mean, we ought to serve him because he tells us to. We ought to serve him because it's the right thing to do. But if you can't do it for those two reasons, you serve him because you're thankful for what he's done for you. Amen. And then quickly, we need to rehearse all that God has done for us, to know that he's God, to be reminded to serve him, and then number three, to be encouraged to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Stephen rehearsed for his people, the Jews, everything that God had done for them. And then he got to the end of his recount, the end of his counting the blessings that God had done, and said, "Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." And what Stephen was saying to that crowd of people gathered around him that day is, why don't you just yield yourself to the Holy Spirit of God? Why don't you just yield to him? He'll guide you. He'll help solve your problems. He'll direct you. Listen to what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit from John chapter 16. He said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." Why don't we just yield to the Holy Spirit? Why don't we just surrender our will to his? As we rehearse, as we remember everything that God has done for us, why would we want to live life in our own will? Why would we want to live our life with our own desires? Why wouldn't we want to have the will and the desires that the Holy Spirit from God wants us to have in our life? And again, as we go back and recount and as we rehearse everything that God has done for us, it ought to be an encouragement. Hey, I'm just going to trust him. We can probably all look back at times in our life where we argued against the Holy Spirit and how we didn't get the best things that God wanted for us because we were stubborn, because we were willful. And then we can look back at our times, back in our life at other times when we were submissive to his will. We did say, "Holy Spirit, you direct, you guide," and how God blessed. If you want that again, then just be submissive to the Holy Spirit. Don't be stubborn. Don't be hard-hearted. Listen to what the Spirit says, and just do it. Just do it. So let's rehearse. Let's remember this time of year. Let's remember what God has done for us to help us remember that he's God, that we need to serve him, and we need to submit ourselves to his Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these reminders. Thank you for everything that you've done. We just scratched the surface this morning. Oh, if we try to put down on paper everything that you've done for us, just for us, our families, our church, we'd have to say, like the Apostle John said at the end of his book, if everything was written down, the world could not contain the books of everything that you've done for us. Help us to be a thankful people. Help us to be a people that remembers what you've done for us. Father, I pray if there's somebody here that's never received Christ, oh, would you help them see how much you love them? Would you help them see how much you desire a relationship with them? But Father, also help them see how their sin prevents that relationship, how that sin separates them from you, how that sin creates a gap between them and you. And there's nothing they can do to close that gap. There's nothing they can do to overcome that separation, but Jesus did everything that was required when he went to Calvary's cross. And if they'd simply trust him this morning and what he did on Calvary to pay for their sins, that relationship they could have with you. They could have it. They could have it this morning. They could have it right now if they just come to Jesus. And so, Father, if there's just even one that's never received Christ, I pray you'd make their sin known to them, the penalty that's associated with that sin, and the price that was paid for it on Calvary, so that you can offer them the gift of life, the gift of a relationship with you. And I pray you'll help them come in just a minute when we sing this invitation song, and we could take the Bible and we can show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Speak to the hearts of Christians that are here. Again, remind us of what you've done in our life. Help us to glorify you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.